One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
What it do, family? I'm your host, AB, and welcome back to another episode of For What It's Worth, y'all. It's been a good month since I have even, not that since I've thought about making an episode, but since I actually made the last episode. So I need to be better. I need to do better. There are a variety of things that I clearly need to work on as it pertains to me right now and this New Year's resolution, because the fact that there are people even still following my content right now is nothing but God. And so I just want to thank God, and I want to thank y'all for still rocking with me on this platform and allowing me to be myself. That's crazy. I honestly cannot be more grateful for you all. I couldn't be more grateful for the platform and for the space that I've been trying to create. And it's now in a space I feel like it's kind of creating itself. And it's creating its own safe space around me and around the For What It's Worth family. And I hope that you all feel that too. And with you guys' continued support, you all are doing that all on your own as well. So I just want to thank you all for that. So if y'all have been following me on social media, we know we do a couple of things, right? I typically do a Music Monday. I love music. I'm actually planning on starting another platform specifically for music, just to talk about music, review albums, all that type of stuff. But we do Music Monday. We do Word of the Week Wednesday because, you know, we like to educate, to elevate over here. And then we typically will do a Tell the Truth Tuesday, which I didn't do last week, and a Self-Care Sunday, which I also didn't do last week. But the reason that I do all of those things is not just for content creation, right? There is motive to all of that, right? It's to have you thinking about a variety of different sides of yourself, right? We all love music, but for example, music can be an educational analysis. It could be an analysis of self. It could be an analysis of relationships, right? Word of the Week Wednesday is also a self-analysis, but it's also just a general education of self, right? For those of you who don't, there have been words I put up on there that I have literally had to Google. I have thesaurused 60% of those words based off of something I already knew the definition to. But the reason I do that is because I think it's important to be well-rounded in communication. Or Tell the Truth Tuesday is about me holding myself accountable for some of my idiotic ass actions. And I need to do one again about procrastination because I just did one about procrastination like a week or two ago. And here we are again. So now, you know, now it's not self-sabotage. Now this is just about me breaking bad habits. And then Self-Care Sunday is about being introspective about yourself, right? We spend a good portion of our lives trying to be a thing for everyone else, and as opposed to trying to be ourselves to our fullest potential and allowing whatever God has for us to manifest through that. And we've built this, well, first of all, this society here in this nation has created a system where they demonize people for not wanting to haul ass for 80 hours a week and doing any given thing, whether it be school or work or whatever, in order not to only live, but to actually survive, right? That's living and surviving to me are not the same thing. And many of us are just surviving, but the hope is that you get to live. And the hope eventually is that you get to thrive. And so with Self-Care Sunday, it's about bringing you back to your center. Like, yeah, you did all this week, Maybe you didn't. But amongst all of those things, what did you do for your specific self-care to nurture you into a new space and a new energy, a better energy from the week before? And so I say all of that to say, today I'm doing something new. I'm going to do a movie review. Yeah, I'm doing a movie review. Because, listen, first of all, spoiler alert. Okay, because I'm like, again, this was my very first podcast, my pilot of this platform was about a movie, and I didn't want to spoil it for y'all, but this movie just came out. Okay, when I did the pilot episode for this platform, it was on Black Panther, and I think Black Panther had already been out for like a year by the time I started my podcast, and I had the conversation about, you know, In It But Not Of It and the ideology of being a part of the African diaspora, whether it be through transatlantic slave trade or by other means, and having a distant connection, but it was a thing. It's the first pilot, it's the first episode. If you want to listen to it, it's up on all platforms. But this movie that I'm doing a review on just came out. It just came out, y'all. And I'm going to say spoiler alert again, because if somebody listens to this and they get mad, I'm going to try not to spoil too much, because much of what I would like to discuss is more so about a feeling. And it's a feeling that you have to see to experience, right? It's a feeling that you have to see the film to understand what I'm saying, but it's not necessarily something that I have to give away in order for you to comprehend. But I'm still going to say spoiler alert, because I really want to be able to speak freely about this, and I just don't want y'all to be mad at me. I don't want y'all to be mad at me. But see, okay, random side note. I'm the type of person where, like, I want you to tell me the entirety of the film. I'm the type of person who buys books and opens I open the book from the last page. And I read the very last two sentences of the book. So that, for me, I have some random pretense onto what I think is going on. But I'm the type of person where I like to kind of know. I kind of like to know walking into it how I think I'm going to feel. And a good book, a good book will change my entire outlook of what I saw. That by the time I got to the end of the book, I don't even remember reading those last two lines. I don't even remember reading the last two lines. And that's how I feel about films. Also, maybe because I have the attention span of a gnat. So by the time I see the movie anyway, I'm not even going to remember what you said. Okay. I was the person who legit Googled who died in Endgame. And by the time I went to go see it, I was still shocked at who died. like I was full blown surprised. Totally forgot. So I don't know if it's more introspective or if it's just me having a short attention span, but I'm the type of person who likes to know a variety of things going into it. Also, because we're individuals, and the way that somebody explains stuff to you, whether it be fact or whatever the case may be, doesn't change the fact that you have your own perception of what happened, right? It doesn't change the fact that you have your own perception of what happened. So you still need to see it, I still need to see it in order for me to build up my own perspective on what is going on. At any rate, I still care about y'all, so spoiler alert. So I went to see Queen and Slim. I just want to start off by saying to Miss Melina and Lena that so necessary. Like the whole film was so necessary. It was so beautifully black. It was so beautifully orchestrated. And I personally have never seen Bonnie and Clyde. I've seen Thelma and Louise. But I was young when I saw Thelma and Louise. Again, have no recollection. Let's try that again. Have no recollection, wow, of what happened in that film. But if I remember a couple of things, I think one of them was sexually assaulted. and then essentially, or one of them was cheated on, sexually assaulted, or something terrible happened to either one of them or both, and then they went and just start fucking up all these dudes. But I legit was like 8 or 9 when I saw that, so that's almost 20 years ago. But as it pertains to Queen and Slim, there are a variety of things I would like to say about the film as it pertains to representation, as it pertains to love, as it pertains to individual existence and how we manifest our relationships, even to where how it started with the two of them and having to digest the totality of the possibility that none of this could have happened, but the point of the matter being that it did. The development of the two characters as a whole in the story, and them being two planets on their own, right? But they come to learn to orbit around each other, with what may be seen as love, what may be seen as attachment due to convenience, because the situation was traumatic. So they may have fallen for each other the way that they did do through some sort of trauma bond or whatever the case may be, right? All of this is speculation. The main point is we saw what we saw.
And that's honestly one of the things I love about film and literature and art and anything presentable. And when I say presentable, I just mean under the idea of it being an observable object, is that regardless of what is orchestrated, you're still given the opportunity to impart your own perception, right? As an individual, you will always have your own perception, regardless of what is created. And so, I guess I'm gonna just hop right into it. But again, like I said, spoiler alert, because this is a review, and I'm gonna try to do my best not to give much of it away. But honestly, if you haven't seen this, I would see it and then revisit this episode. Because I really, for those of you who don't like that kind of thing, I really just don't want to ruin it for you. So one of the things I really want to talk about, and I hope to God this isn't like a 3-hour episode. If so, I'll just split it up into two parts. But I'm going to try to condense. I'm going to try to condense it as much as I can, because even as I'm talking about what I'm going to do, I'm racking my mind of all of the things that I saw and the things that I felt and the things I conversed about with my friend after seeing the film. And I will say my biggest takeaway from the film was the representation of Black love. I mean, like, down to the music they chose, like, so much of the music that they chose is like stuff I either woke up to on Sunday morning or listened to in my mom's car or my grandparents' car on a road trip. First of all, my mama loved Luther Vandross. Like, she worshipped this man, okay? My mom played Luther Vandross. There's not a point in my life, in my youth, that I don't remember hearing a Luther Vandross song. So as soon as I was, like, as I was watching the film, and you know, sometimes it takes your brain a minute to process what you're seeing and hearing. As soon as I heard, I was like, oh my God, like, what in the black ass hell is happening to me right now? Like, what is happening? Like, they did this thing with the movie as it pertains to the feel and the music and the love and the moments between these two characters that created a universe in a way that I realized I had never felt in this life. Even as a black person living this life, being this life, I think seeing it outside of myself as it pertains to the representation portion that I spoke about earlier is what made me connect to it so fervently. And I also want to say that, I mean, the casting was, I mean, pristine, okay? The casting for this film was pristine. And I just want to say, like, I'm nobody in the film industry. I am nobody in the television world. But you know, there's, like, those actors where you can, like, in your mind, based off of what you've seen them in, you can, like, see them in anything, right? For Jody, I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen Jody in anything. She is, a beautiful human being. She's just a beautiful human being. But Daniel, I mean, continues to surprise me. Continues. And I'm actually really upset at myself that I keep, like, not thinking about this brother. Like, I'm upset with myself that, like, I saw him in Black Mirror and I saw him in Black Panther and I saw him in Get Out. And I was like, wow, he was great. And then in my mind, it was just that I was done. And not that I wasn't interested or that I wasn't even impressed, because I've been consistently impressed by his work and his roles. But I'm upset with myself that I keep overlooking this brother until y'all bring out something else with this brother in it. And he blows me completely the fuck out the water. With that being said, loved Slim's character. I loved Slim's character because he was a version of a Black man that I don't know if I've ever seen before. And I feel like I've seen this brother in my personal life, right? Like, I feel like, and not even as a romantic thing, but mostly in platonic situations and friendships, even as family members, where this brother is just Black, right? He's just himself. He likes what he likes. He believes what he believes. He's comfortable with himself. And as the film opens, like, it opens in this diner that you only see Black people in, and it is Black owned. And this man is grubbing, okay? I mean, fully comfortable, okay? Fully comfortable and fully in the moment. And it seems like he's just being himself. It's clear that he is on a date with this woman. She is very clearly not impressed, but he also very clearly doesn't care. But it's not like he's representing that in a way that is hyper-masculated, or maybe that it's not that he didn't care, it's just that he was hungry, right? They did this thing with Slim's character where he was just existing. And his existence in his body, in his Black body, in his beautiful body, just him being himself alone, just being comfortable in his environment alone, was extraordinary. Because we've seen brothers where it seems like they're, like, hyper-masculated, or, you know, they're looking over their shoulder, or they're trying too hard to impress the girl, or they're just doing too much. But, and some of y'all, I know you might think this is ridiculous for me to make note of, but I think for myself as a person who is hyper aware, maybe even paranoid sometimes, is even if I don't look like it in my mind, I'm always calculating my surroundings. I'm always introspective on how I need to navigate a space so that I don't compromise myself. I don't compromise my morals, my ethics, and my personhood so that I can still be 100% myself, but always being cognizant to stay within non-offensive boundaries of that, right? Because I'm basically trying to police the way that I exist. And that's what I loved about Slim's character from start to finish is that he was cool. He was a cool brother. He was seemingly respectful. He was charming. He was hungry. He was minding his business. He was minding his business. He was in the moment. Whereas on the flip side, in watching Queen, you can see her discomfort, almost her disinterest. You can almost see immediately looking at her that she was afflicted with trauma. And not to say that Slim maybe hadn't had trauma, but he didn't have that look. He didn't have that pressure on him. As like, I was able to see him as just a brother in this moment where I was watching Queen and I was like, what happened to her? What happened to her? I'm not even like tripping off of or considering the fact that she's not interested in this brother, and she seems like she might be a bit above it with her possible cashmere sweater and her cognac pants. But she looked like she was hurting, and she looked like she was there for something. And not in a sexual way, just in she looked like she was seeking companionship from the very beginning, even in her disinterest and even in what seemed like was the shell against trauma in her body language towards Slim, while Slim is literally minding his business, right? Like, and I think what was interesting for me about that dynamic just in that very first scene was like, it seemed like she was putting on a defense, right? Like she was in the middle of a battle and she was ready to battle this brother. But in his mind, he's not even at the war because there is no war for him. Not in that moment, because he's in his moment and she is somewhere the fuck else in a battle. And it seems like the battle was ongoing and it was constant. And so it almost seems like she was waiting. She had engaged in that form of companionship to get a break from the battle. But because she had been this way for so long, from what we find out in the film, this is the way that she communicated. Right. And so as you go through the film, you find that she's often alone, which means she's probably reinforcing her own thoughts and reinforcing what she thinks is right and correct. And so now she's built this fortress based on her what her own truths are and perpetuating them as universal truth against this brother who's just trying to have a nice date. Like, I mean, listen, just to play devil's advocate here, whether you be in a non-binary situation, hetero, homo, pansexual, polyamorous relationship, I'm sure we've all been in experiences, and I have been this person. I have been Queen before. I'm still Queen. And we'll get to that. Where one person is just trying to enjoy their time, but the other person is so jaded and damaged from experiences that they've had before, that everything is a battle, that they're protecting themselves from everything, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, no matter if it's necessary or not, they stay ready. They stay ready so much so that they're almost overprepared, and then they create a problem by trying to stay ready for some shit that wasn't even there. So let me not get off into my tangent, y'all. Actually, let me just go back to Slim before I move on to Queen. Another thing that I loved about Slim's extraordinariness in his comfort, his seeming comfort in self, is that they made it a point to make sure that we knew that this brother had family love, right? Like he had a relationship with his family. he talked about his family the entire film up until almost the end. And specifically, he had a close relationship with his heavenly father and his earthly father, his biological father. And I think it was beautiful for them to make that an arc of the film so that once we get to the point where he's being accosted by this cop, we don't have the quintessential story of this brother not having the discipline or not having the love or not having the safe home family, the safe family home, rather, that other individuals from other communities or maybe other races had. Because they make it very clear at the beginning of the film that this brother has a stable, loving home. And although we don't see it totally, it's important for us to just take this brother's word for it, you know? And quite frankly, I would believe anything this man said because of how comfortable he seems with himself and his environment. I loved it, though. I loved it because it took off a layer of callous, right? It almost just smoothed out some edges. And I noticed again myself that that wasn't something that I thought about until after the film was over and getting home and talking about it and even being on the other side of the conversation, like still having a conversation within my head that's like, yo, actually, yeah, that's really beautiful. Because unfortunately, we know that that's an arc of the Black narrative in real life and is also perpetuated in film. So it felt like that particular portion, I mean, all of the felt intentional, but it felt like as it pertains to this brother here, it felt like that was specifically intentional so that we walked into the story knowing that this is not going to be any part of the premise of this story and the why. We don't want y'all as other Black people, and we don't want everyone else, whether they be some other form of minority or white people, to use this lack of a father or lack of family structure to justify any of this behavior. Because for this brother, that is not the case. Okay? For this brother, that is not the issue. So we just gonna shut all that down right now. Now, hop, skip, and jumping back to Queen. Queen is a social project. Queen is a social project. I loved Slim because I realized that there were things in me I could relate to in Slim, but there were things in Slim as a partner that I would want for myself. And I loved Queen because Queen is the first and only woman in any Black film, in any film ever that I've ever seen, that I felt resembled a mirror image of my emotional and mental process. Because this woman was riddled with trauma. She was lonely. She was in pain. She was hurting. She did not have the help or the love and support that she needed and deserved in her childhood, clearly, and into her adulthood, and then she shut herself off from the world. And she probably used her education as a distraction and a means to an end. And once she realized she could have all the education and all the money and the access in the world, and it wouldn't change her reality, then she was just left with the pain. And so at some point in the film, and mind you, I'm still just on the first scene. Slim asks her, you know, what made you pick me? And this girl gonna say, you look sad. You looked sad in your photo. And so I felt bad for you. And, you know, Slim's like, damn. He took that L to the chin, like a man, for real. Because we all know some brothers who would have been like, B word, blah, 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 blah. You could pay for your own food then, bitch. And first of all, can we just talk about the fact that Slim ate her salad? That sounds gross. But like literally, like, was like, are you going to finish that? And started snacking on her food. Like, I was like, this dude is wonderful. Like, he's just wonderful. I love him. But she looks at this man and she tells him that she felt bad for him. She picked him because she pitied him. But I interpreted that as a cloak. I interpreted that as a defense mechanism. I don't think, in my head, I didn't think that she chose him because she pitied him. If she really did see sadness in his eyes, then she picked him because she saw sadness in hers. And she finally had seen a reflection of what she was feeling in someone else. And maybe hoping that she could find an escape route into somebody who could help her with what she was feeling, or who maybe even knew what she was feeling. More importantly, could relate to what she was feeling because of the perceived sadness in his eyes. But what's interesting to me is that mad advanced level of projection that she, like, that she mastered. But, you know, this is all, like, my perception of it. That's all my perception of it. And the reason I came to that conclusion, I mean, I came to that conclusion pretty early. Like, I came to that conclusion in the middle of that scene. And then the remainder of what happened in the film, and as I see her break open, I see her callus smooth over. I see her heart soften. It only just confirms it. It confirms that all of that was a defense mechanism. And the reason I personally resonate so much with Queen again is because I think so many of us as Black women are queen. I think so many of us as women are queen, but specifically Black women, in a lot of ways, we are constantly forced into these positions to have to be somebody's savior, to be a martyr when we didn't ask for it, to be the educator, to be the provider. And now we're in this position where people, it's almost like people will demonize you for wanting to be a contributing member to society, whether that be a working mother or that being a working individual without children. People are demonizing women for doing what we've been forced to do in a variety of situations. And in Queen's situation, like her, she was, I don't, because that's a huge arc for the story, so I don't want to give that away. But that shit, I could totally see some shit happening like that in my personal life, for those of you who've seen it. And then having to defend the person who did what they did to your loved one. I have no words. But what I would have liked to, I think, dive further into was her reasoning for her distant relationship with her mother. Like, what happened that destroyed their closeness? And why was it, why did she not care about fixing it? Why didn't she care more about wanting to be close to her mother like her mother wanted to be before it was too late? And I think it speaks to the same idea that they used as it pertains to Slim's close relationship with his father, right? I think that in turn, that centeredness, I guess you could say, of self in Slim could be largely in part attributed to his relationship with his father. Whereas the defensiveness of Queen in part could be to her distant relationship with her mother and feeling like she didn't have anybody to defend her. So now she has to defend herself against everyone at all costs, even if that means that she has to be alone for the rest of her life. Even as I'm thinking now, like, her relationship to God, or the lack thereof, because in the beginning parts of the film, she makes it very clear that she has no interest in relationship with God, and she does not believe in God. And as the film continues, she ends up praying in thankfulness and gratefulness for their journey thus far to God. And I often wonder if her atheism, or possible, you know, agnosticism, I guess you could say, is in part due to the trauma that she had gone through. And I'd even say, like, introspectively, it was super interesting for me to see Queen as the Black woman in the film being the one that was, how do I say this? Like, who was non-God acknowledging at the time. Because I will say that I don't know if I want to speak as a collective, but I will say that in my family is mostly women anyway. And in my family, the women are the ones who carried the torch for our belief system, our spirituality, our doctrine, what we follow, what we don't follow. My grandmother's oldest sister, who just recently passed away, God bless her soul, she was what we called the saint in our family. Everybody called her to get prayed over. And sometimes she would just call you out the blue in the middle of the night because she felt like you needed prayer. She was the spiritual hedge over our family. And I would venture to say that historically, Black women have carried the torch for a variety of things, of course, but religion and spirituality being among those. And so it's so interesting to me, but I think it was a testament to her pain. It was such a testament to her pain, because even as defensive as she was and disinterested, she was equally as ferocious, tenacious, and loving and soft. And I think watching her bloom and blossom from that concrete place was beautiful for me to see, because it let me know that I could do that too. Lord, hopefully not under those circumstances. Jesus, because I'm telling y'all now, I'm not a good liar. So if I was in a situation like that, you might just have to find a short pier and take a long drive off with me in there, because I'm a terrible liar. Like, so much so to the point where I was even anxious. Like, so they're just not going to tell? I get why they're not going to tell, because they'll never see the light of day again. And when you think about it, like, either way, the situation would have ended the same way, whether the confession or not. Because the point of the matter was, he's a Black man and they're two Black people. So, but that was the extraordinary thing about making these characters who they were, right? Is that there was so much depth to either one of their stories and so many intricacies that I could see them as people. Like, even going in knowing not the whole premise, because honestly, I totally forgot about the political stance of the film throughout the entirety of the film, because I was so focused on these two people and their experiences with each other and their love, their experiences with other people, what they were seeing, what they were feeling. And as it pertains to their feelings, like, my absolute favorite part of the film were moments where we were sharing moments with them that we weren't seeing, but we were hearing and feeling, right? And so although we were watching the film, the camera wasn't placed in the car with them at certain points, right? The camera was placed outside the car of the and giving us a rear view of the car. But it wasn't inside of that moment. We weren't sitting inside of that moment with them. We were having some sort of like ethereal moment where they're having a moment together in their trueness and in their purity and in their dialogue, in their space, in the universe they've created with each other or that they're still creating with each other. And we're not seeing it, but we're hearing it and we're listening and we're feeling it. And those are the moments that I felt the most. Or even when they're in the Louisiana juke joint and they're dancing together and they're not saying anything, but it's almost like they're talking to each other, right? They're having dialogue with each other without saying anything. That nonverbal communication. And it wasn't even like she was giving him the eye like, yeah, you know, this thing is yours. It was like she was Queen and Slim were in a moment where they were only taking in each other's essence for what it was, right? Their auras, their breath, their warmth, and they were speaking to each other and speaking to themselves in such a space that felt so aware that it was almost transcendent. And I have seen people try to do that in a film many a times over, but I felt it for the first time in this one. And there were a variety of moments where they were sharing their moments without actually doing or saying anything. And that was, my favorite. I mean, what a life to love. But although those were my favorite moments, I will say those were my most uncomfortable spaces. Like, I was so wide-eyed and involved. Sorry. I was so wide-eyed and involved. And I could feel, like, the closer they got and the more their love started to flourish and the more their relationship grew, the bigger their universe got, like, the tighter my chest got. And I noticed, like, I could never allow myself to fully enjoy the beauty of the love that they were cultivating because I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I talked to my friend about that. And he was saying that there was a specific intent to implement the idea of Black love and Black joy as a fleeting moment, because the way society has structured our lives as Black bodies, we are only allowed and afforded joy and happiness and love in fleeting moments. So whether it be a personal experience with death or an issue with the justice system, if it's not your own personal experience, then somebody in your community is going through it and it's being perpetuated through propaganda and media and fed to you, which also innately destroys your joy. And that's what I was telling them, like, when they were being chased, when they were being hunted, when they were being sought after, when they were being accosted, I was comfortable because I knew that. I knew that feeling. At this point, it's like second nature. But the moments I loved the most, I wondered why they were so uncomfortable.
And I had to realize it's because I had only known them in moments. If I had ever felt that way, it's because I had known them in moments. And most of us, as people of color, as marginalized groups, as Black people, as Black bodies, we are always waiting for the other shoe to drop in one way or another. And so we're never really able to give our full selves to anything because we're trying to prepare for Armageddon. And I think I'm gonna have to do another episode because I just wanna dive into the things. I just wanna dive into the things. Because that is the beauty of the film. It's the tug of war between the beautiful moments, the unforgettable moments, the smells, the feelings, the nonverbal communication, the intake of a visual of the space that you're in with people you care about, with somebody you love, juxtaposed against the trauma and the pain, all to come to some sort of fucked up, bitter end, right? That's the beauty of the film. The film is full of the tug of war of what it's like to be Black. And this just being, you know, one of the varieties of situations that could have come of. And I left wishing that, well, first I left, full, also crying, but happy, but also sad. I left feeling. And sometimes that's all I want is to feel. But I also left wondering what a love like that would look like without the woes of the world banging at our door, at our mind's eye all the time. What a love like that would look like if there was not a fear of being stolen. Right? That is heaven. That's heaven. And so I just want to thank Queen and Slim for giving me a piece of heaven, because I'm choosing to hold on to the beautiful moments between those two beautiful bodies, and wishing for a love that beautiful for myself and within myself at the same time. So there's probably going to be multiple parts, because now I'm thinking of so many more things that I want to. And I even made notes, y'all. I made notes. I went by my notes for this one, and I still have so many things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the music. I want to talk about the ending. I want to talk about so many things. So this is just going to be part one. I'm going to do a part two, and hopefully we won't have to do a part three. Okay? Hopefully we won't have to do a part three. But if we do have to do a part three, personally, I am fine with that. So thank you guys for listening to my review. I would like to give it, man, I really don't even want to rate it or anything. I just want to say it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I need to know when it goes on pre-order so I can go ahead and make it do what it do on that tip, because I will be buying it. I will be buying the soundtrack on CD, not just streaming, but I will be buying the soundtrack on CD, because I have been playing it on rotation, on repeat, since I saw the film. For those of you who listen to this and haven't yet seen the film, I hope I didn't give too much away. I would love, though, for you to tell me when you do go see it and what you think about the film. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, if you saw some things that maybe I missed, or you have a different perception on what you saw, I would love for us to have this kind of dialogue about love. Yeah, about love, for sure. So we need as much of it as we can possibly get. So
I hope you all enjoy this episode. I'm going to do this weekly. This series I'll do weekly. So next week will be part two. Sorry, y'all. And the week after will be part three. And then we should be done. So, Lordy, Lord. Still working on merch and things and stuff. But that's about it right now, y'all. Still working on merch, and I'm trying to get back on this podcast bandwagon. So, as it pertains to my platform. But thank you again for rocking with me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for following. Thank you for just being here. Thank you. I'm so grateful for you all. And I'm thankful for the fact that you guys are here on this platform with me and just allowing me to be. So, yeah, I love y'all. I will see you next week for sure for the facts. I'm already making my notes. I'm doing the things. I'm doing the things. So you will not you will not be waiting too long. Okay. So thank you. Love you all. Have a wonderful one. And remember, you are known, you are loved, and you are seen. If nowhere else, but for what it's worth.